Welcome to World Communion Sunday and a Bible passage all about divorce and adultery. It just doesn't seem to fit. Please be sure to keep your seatbelts fastened during today's flight. Things could get a little bit bumpy because today's Bible reading is a favorite to use for scriptural abuse. Equal terms. Here's a question. Why do we use the Bible to cut people down? That is not the intention of the Bible. Why do we use it that way? It's too easy to look at the first part of today's reading and think, wow, Jesus hates divorced people. Context is really important here, though. In Palestine, at the time of Jesus, the time when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, divorce was all about what the man wanted and what the man did to make the divorce happen. Women had no power in this situation. So the Pharisees brought Jesus a question that was a trap. He couldn't answer it without angering someone. Or a lot of people. So he angered some. A lot of people, maybe. He asked them what the law of Moses said, and then he answered a different question without dealing with the legality of things. Jesus talked about the ideal for marriage. But right in here, he talked about it in equal terms with men and women. If a man does this, then this happens. If a woman does this, then this happens. That wasn't the way the legality of things worked. It was, if a man does this, this happens. Women, we have no use for their opinion or anything. He didn't say that, but that's the way the law seemed to work. But Jesus used equal terms in marriage and divorce, and the equality of children with adults in the second part there. Jesus took the trap and he showed the Pharisees and the disciples that marriage was intended to build up both of the people in the marriage. He showed the Pharisees and the disciples that their rules caused trouble when they sought to use them to take power and to persecute someone else. I know firsthand that marriages fail for many reasons. And people are too quick to say things like, well, they were abused, so of course we wouldn't hold a divorce against them, while at the same time saying irreconcilable differences? What kind of excuse is that? What has happened in our society where people just throw away their marriage like yesterday's trash? Incidentally, do you know where the divorce rates in the U.S. are the lowest? Iowa, Illinois, Louisiana, Massachusetts, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, North Dakota, Wisconsin, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Kansas. A majority of those are blue states. Go figure. And you know where this is going, right? The states with the highest divorce rates: Oklahoma, Nevada, Texas, Wyoming, Idaho, Arkansas, Alaska, Florida, West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama. Almost all are red states. The statistics there come from the CDC database. Among religious folks, the divorce rate is highest for Christians over any other religion, with conservative Protestants leading the way. And atheists, they have the lowest divorce group or divorce rate of any religious group. Doesn't seem to stick with what we think should be or what we preach, but it's right there. It's just a reality. And I don't want to attack the right and praise the left. I don't want to say that atheism makes for better marriages and that Christianity destroys marriage. None of that is fair. None of it is true. But I have to point out that we have to stop thinking that liberals destroy marriage while conservatives save it. We have to stop thinking that religious folk are immune from marriage problems while non-religious folks just throw it out the window. Divorce is painful. It's sad. But couples across the religious and non-religious spectrum get divorced. And we have to stop using the Bible to attack people that go through that. I don't think that people enter into marriage with each other with the idea of ending it. And I don't think that Jesus ever intended us to take this morning's Bible reading and shun or chastise people who have suffered through abuse or who have lived through divorce after failed marriages for any reason. I don't think that Jesus wanted married couples to take their vows. I do think that Jesus wanted married couples to take their vows seriously and to live their lives loving each other and living out a peace with one another. But it is so not Jesus to kick someone when they're down. Jesus teaches something quite the opposite. There's the second part of today's reading. I love this part. I don't love the first part, but I hope I explained it in a way that gets to the heart of it and reminds us that no one is immune from the problems of the world. But the second part of today's reading, we got another lesson related to children. A couple weeks ago, I had talked about welcoming everyone. I mean, I talk about that all the time, right? But especially those whom society places little or no value in. This week, though, is about experiencing the realm of God not with the squinted, jaded eyes and hardened hearts that we can have, but with awe and wonder. Jesus told the disciples to experience the realm of God, the kingdom of God, the neighborhood of God from the perspective of a child. Elevated that position. Stop trying to figure everything out. Stop making everything about this long list of don'ts. Keep with the two rules and then let things flow from that. Play, jump, dance, run, shout, giggle. You could try one of those. You don't have to do it right now, but try one of those today at least. Play, jump, dance, run, shout, giggle. Because it's all right. Joy is contagious. We can come and play. We can experience God's realm. We can experience the neighborhood in a way that Jesus said to. Celebrate. How about we celebrate today's communion with the joy of resurrection and new life and not make it about this whole theology of things except being in community with one another. Celebrate communion. Jumping, dancing, running, shouting, giggling, playing, I don't know. Celebrate it as a community gathering, festival, celebration. Remember that at St. Paul's UCC, and I don't want to single us out, look at how good we are, because a lot of people do this, but at St. Paul's UCC, everyone, no exceptions, is invited and welcome to partake in communion. Parents get to make a decision for their children, right? Parents get to rear their children the way that they think is appropriate. But there is no barrier here that says that anyone can't or has to receive communion. No reason for anyone to be turned away. Every reason to include everyone in the celebration. How many times have I said, at Easter time, we celebrate Easter and kids put flowers up on the cross and the living cross here. And we do Easter egg hunts and we tell the story. We don't stop kids from celebrating Easter because they don't get it. And all they can think about is the Easter bunny and candy. We don't stop kids from celebrating Christmas and participating in like a Christmas pageant. I'm pointing right here because, you know, the Christmas pageant usually takes place right there. A pageant or Christmas morning with gifts, even if they think it's all about Santa Claus, as much as we tell them the story. We don't stop kids from participating in that. So why do we stop kids from participating in communion? Because they don't get it. When a kid, and all kids have said this, wow, I really like the snack. Our sensibilities might be like, oh, that's awful. You can't do that. This is Jesus, and we can't do that. But it's a beginning. We ate something together. And along the way, you get to learn what Easter's about, what Christmas is about, what communion is about. And along the way, you get different ideas about what all of those things are about too, don't you? I would guess that if we took a survey of the congregation here, we would have at least 50 different understandings of communion. It's okay not to agree on everything. No, it's not okay. It's to reject people or to try to keep them out because they don't think the way I do or you do. Remember, no one is unimportant. Everyone is valuable. Everyone can experience God's neighborhood, God's presence, God's love with the open hearts and minds of little children. Amen.